Well, today we're going to be continuing talking about one verse from the Bible, a very powerful verse we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks. It comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, and it says this: "Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." Most of you will probably remember this. It sounds familiar. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. Very famous. Jesus is talking about the kingdom. We've been talking about the kingdom and how Jesus is the kingdom. And he sure talked a lot about the kingdom. In fact, consider this verse where Jesus is talking about the kingdom from Luke chapter 17. He said, "Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is in your midst." See, my friends, Jesus carried the kingdom of God with him. He, in a sense, was the kingdom of God. So where Jesus was, there the kingdom of God was. We know this because everywhere Jesus went, you saw the kingdom of God breaking through into the world. He was healing the sick. He was transforming people's hearts. He was healing relationships. He was feeding the hungry. He was causing people to make changes in their lives, like giving away half of everything they had to the poor. Jesus, he brought the kingdom with him. In other words, it was like Jesus was bringing a little bit of heaven down here to earth. And we know that because the kingdom of God is also referred to sometimes as the kingdom of heaven. It's where the good times roll once again. And we know that when Jesus came, the good times did begin to roll, but not entirely. We expected something more, something to be longer lasting, but the kingdom of God was where Jesus was, but he was just one guy. And he was limited to one particular geographical space and one particular point in time. And eventually he would leave this earth. And so when Jesus finally died, naturally, his followers, they were quite let down. So what's going on? I thought Jesus was going to establish the kingdom of heaven on and forever. But then he rose from the grave. And then there was a sense of hope amongst the disciples saying, maybe now it's going to happen. Maybe now the kingdom of God is finally going to be on earth as it is in heaven, fully, totally. But then Jesus says this as he's about to leave. He says, "Hey, listen, I'm going away." They said, "You're going away?" He said, "But don't worry. I'm going away, but one day I'm going to come back. And then on that day, I will establish the kingdom of God in its fullness." I think they were a little bit let down. I mean, you can kind of feel the disciples' disappointment there. They're saying, "Jesus, you're going away. I thought you came to establish the kingdom of God here, now, fully. Why do you even have to leave?" And I'm sure this is how some of us feel sometimes. We think, "Geez, I sure can't wait till I get to heaven. Geez, I wish things were different. I wish there wasn't the pain and the suffering that I'm experiencing. Why did Jesus even have to go away anyways? And when is he going to return?" And I realize it's very sort of depressing to hear that or to think about that. So why do we think about this at Christmas time? Because Christmas is about, of course, his coming and his coming again. But I want to reassure you that Jesus said, "I had to go away, because if I didn't go away, I wouldn't be able to give you something more. A piece of the kingdom of God to take with you." This, my friends, this is what we have right now. You can read along with me, John chapter 14. "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus speaking, "and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you." Don't you see, my friends, the kingdom of God, it did not leave this world with Jesus. In fact, when Jesus left, the kingdom of God came into this world in a much deeper, more thorough, more powerful way than it ever did before. It came through the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus says in the gospel, in John, I believe it's chapter 16, he says, "Unless I go away, the advocate cannot come." So he's telling them, he's showing them that this is a good thing that I'm going away, because realize the implications of this are earth shattering. Because although Jesus was limited to one place and one time, now if we all have Jesus within us, if we all have his Holy Spirit, then the kingdom of God is where we are. That means each and every single follower of Jesus is a like a kingdom ambassador, so to speak. And the kingdom of God follows us around, so that the kingdom of God is a lot of places, a lot of the time. It is everywhere that a spirit-filled person finds themselves. And so now the kingdom of God expresses itself in millions of different ways, in millions of different places through you and me. God's presence has the power to work through you, for example, to communicate healing or encouragement or love to someone else who is in need. The Holy Spirit can work through your hands to develop this world and make it a better place, to make it a little bit more like heaven. Whether that's through using your gifts to, I don't know, build roads or build IT systems. Whatever it is, my friends, this world is a lot better place than it was even 100 years, even 30 years ago. You don't believe me, I got a good TED Talk for you. I'll send it to you. This world is a better place. It looks more like heaven than it used to look. And it is because the Holy Spirit is working through us, bringing the kingdom of God into this world. God uses, for example, spirit-filled moms as well. He uses you moms to develop and care and teach children who are going to grow up and become mighty men and women of God. And God's going to use those people for his glory. God uses you. God works in and through each and every single one of your gifts, resources, time, energy, works through that to build this world and to build his kingdom a little bit more, and to build his church as well. God's Spirit works within us to make us better people ourselves, transforms our hearts, ministers to our hearts, helps us overcome things like our anger and our addiction and all these things that bind us down and cause us to harm others. He helps us to overcome that. Don't you realize that? He fills us with joy. He fills us with peace. Joy and peace and happiness that surpass circumstances, by the way. Because happiness is only circumstantial, but joy surpasses that, and he gives us pure joy. He causes his kingdom to break forth into this world through supernatural gifts, just like he did through Jesus. Jesus is going around, he's performing miracles, he's casting out demons, he's physically healing people. Yes, my friends, the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus and empowered him to do supernatural works is the same Holy Spirit that lives in each and every single one of you if you are a follower of Jesus, and he empowers you to do the same things that he did. And that, my friends, that is an amazing truth. By doing all these things, the Holy Spirit empowers us to bring his kingdom into this world, to push back the curse, and to bring heaven on earth. And that, my friends, is actually an amazing, powerful thing. And we have to grasp the implications of that, because I think a lot of us walk around day to day not living as though this is true. And believe me, there's a world of difference between an intellectual belief and a functional belief. So is it an intellectual belief for you, or is it a functional belief? So I hope you see what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that it may not be like heaven every day. I think we know that, right? Look around, clearly, it's not like heaven every day. But this world can be heaven-like every day. We know in the kingdom of heaven, it's like Christmas. It's wonderful. Everything's good. It's not like Christmas every day. One day, things will be everyday Christmas, but it can be a little bit like Christmas. Just like Christmas Eve. Think about Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is like Christmas. It's good. It's not as good as Christmas, but it's somewhat good, right? Because on Christmas Eve, you may have to work, but you know that the next day you don't have to work. And probably actually for the next few days, you don't have to work. And although it's not as good as having a day off, the day before a stretch of days off is actually pretty good, right? It's a good feeling anyways. Maybe it's just me, right? I always take Mondays off, so hey, you know, Sunday's feeling good for me. Actually, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Let's not get into that. Sometimes being a pastor is like being a lifeguard. You know, everyone else is having fun, and you're on duty. You know? I'm sorry. So, Christmas Eve. Okay, you're not having the big Christmas dinner, but your family has arrived in town. You've got to greet them. Christmas Eve, you don't get to open up all your presents like Christmas Day, but depending on your tradition, maybe you get to open up one present, or maybe at least your stocking. So it's nice. It may not be as good as Christmas, but Christmas Eve is Christmas-like. And that's what I want us to see, is that although we are not living in the kingdom of heaven, my friends, we are living on the cusp of the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is coming soon, and every day we're closer to that day. I tell my kids, I always tell them, like, hurry up. Every moment is that much more closer to Christmas. So I'm always trying to, you know, use that to show them that, don't you see, we're getting there. And so although we may not be in heaven, we can be in a place that is heaven-like. And I know many of you are thinking, well, that seems like a great truth, but my experience in life, or my Christian experience, doesn't feel like I'm living on Christmas Eve. And to that I say, okay, fair enough, that may be true, but it doesn't have to be that way. Nor do I think that it should be that way, because you have the kingdom of God in you, and you have the ability to access it right now. If you truly have the Spirit of God living in you, that means you have all the resources that you already need to have a deep and fulfilling relationship with God. You have all that you need to experience the love and the joy and the happiness that will come at the later date in its fullness when Jesus comes again. His kingdom here on earth can be experienced every day, my friends. And to help you kind of grasp a little bit more and unpack how exactly can that be, I think it helps us to understand the two major categories in which God's kingdom comes and in which it's felt. And that's through God's presence, and it's through His power. So I want to take a look first at how His kingdom can come through His power. First through His presence. Christmas, we talk about Jesus being Emmanuel, because Emmanuel means God with us, right? Jesus was the king, right? Where the king is, there is the kingdom, right? So wherever we are, the kingdom is, because the king now lives, he resides in each and every single one who is a follower of the king. So if heaven is where God's fullness resides and hell is a place that is absence of his presence and earth is somewhere in between, we can experience a degree of his presence with us now every day. And Jesus resides in us through the Holy Spirit, which actually means that now he resides with us in a more potent way than when he actually walked this earth 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Let me just read this scripture from you, John 14. I read it before, I want to read it for you again and emphasize certain parts of it that speak to this. This is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. See, there's terms here, with and in. And we know that Jesus is saying, 2,000 years ago, when he's walking around this earth, he said, the kingdom of God is with you. I am with you. God is with you. But at a later time. He's talking about after he ascends into heaven, but before he comes again, the era that we now live in. He says, then the Holy Spirit will be in you. Then I will be in you, and you will be in my Father. Right? There's a difference between with and in. There's a powerful difference. It's like the difference between knowing that honey is sweet and tasting that it is sweet. And my friends, now we live with a presence of God in us that is deeper than the disciples experienced when Jesus was in the room with them. You realize that is a truth bomb, my friends. That is amazing to think about. And what are the implications of this? Well, the implications are that now you don't just know that he loves you. Now you can feel that he loves you. That's a big difference. You can feel his joy. You can feel his peace surround you. You can talk to him, and you can, yes, hear him talk to you and know you're not crazy. My friends, that's a real thing that every single believer of Jesus has access to. And so if you're thinking to yourself, well, that sure isn't my experience right now, again, I challenge you, it can be and it should be. And so I encourage you to step into this and to start taking hold of the relationship with God that you have available to you through the Holy Spirit. It may not be to the same degree that you're going to get when you get to heaven, but you can have it to some degree, and do not rob yourself of that. It's like the story of a pastor once who was preparing his sermon. Actually, it was a pastor by the name of David Peterson. And he describes a story that one day he's in his study and his little daughter comes in. She's about the age of my daughter, April. She's 4. She comes in and she says, "Daddy, can you play with me?" And David says, "No, sorry, honey, I can't play with you. I got to prepare my sermon. But in about an hour, I'll play with you." And she says, "Okay, Daddy, I'll tell you what. When you're done your sermon, I'm going to give you a great big hug." And he said, "Wow, that sounds great. Can't wait for that." And then she turns around and she goes to leave. And then she stops at the door and she turns around and comes back. And then these are his words. I'm quoting him. "Then she did a U-turn, came back and gave me a chiropractic bone-breaking hug." And David said to her, "Darling, you said you were going to give me a hug after I finished." And she answered, "Daddy, I just wanted you to know what you have to look forward to." My friends, we can't be with God fully now in the way that we want to be. But we do know that we can have a taste of what is to come, right? And that usually means living a much more fuller, much more deeper life with God than we are experiencing right now at this moment. Now, secondly, His kingdom can come to this earth, not just through His presence, but also through His power. You see, where the King is, His power is always exercised, right? That is the truth. And so if the King lives in us, that means that His power can be experienced in us and through us. And we can exert the power of the King. Let's turn back to John chapter 14, but this time we're going to look at a few verses prior to the ones we just read. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." My friends, Jesus has gone to the Father now, right? He's saying that we will do even greater works than He did, right? Why? Because we have the same Holy Spirit living in us that lived and worked in Jesus. Realize that Jesus did all the amazing things He did, not because He was God, but because He was God-filled. He was filled with the Spirit of God. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, He gave up His divine privileges when He came to earth. He gave them up. Which means He gave up any advantage that He would have from being God, so to speak. And He came to live as the one and only first perfect human ever to live. As like an example of the first fruits that was to come. So here he is, Jesus living as the first fully Spirit-filled person. And He's saying, this is what you will be when I leave you. Now He's left us, and we who are His followers are now Spirit-filled believers, Spirit-filled Christians, able to do all the things that Jesus did, and then more. Where the King is, His will be done. So my question to you, are you exercising that? Are you exercising your authority that you have in Christ Jesus? Is this an intellectual belief, or is this a functional belief? My friends, there's a big difference. And I want to look at some of the implications of this. Because we need to understand what it looks like when this is unpacked. Because we are at war, and we forget that sometimes. But the enemy is always out there doing guerrilla warfare against us, right? He has an influence on this world, and so does God. The kingdom has come, but not quite yet. Yet we have God in us to push back the evil one. I remember years ago I had a conversation with someone, and it's one of these people, that, you know, they're just like, you would call them like a saint, you know, although, I mean, we're all saints, but, you know, it's one of those people that just kind of exudes Christian character. And I knew a person like this, and they were just so beautiful, such a beautiful character, such a beautiful soul. And I was talking to them one time, and this is what they said to me. They say, "I pray that wherever I go, Satan will not be able to be there." And there was something about this person that when you were in their presence, like, it, you just felt the peace, you know, like their presence had had an ability to change the room. And maybe it was that they brought the kingdom, or that it was the absence of the evil one, or maybe it was a little bit of both. But I tell you, there was some power there, and that person understood who they were in Christ Jesus. And here's a story that happened to me a few years ago. It's maybe it's not as powerful or supernatural, miraculous as what happened to this woman. But this is, I guess, an example of sometimes how I feel God working through me and how I use his power to bring the kingdom of God into this world. I was just at a coffee shop one day. I think I was just working or something. And I happened to overhear a conversation a woman was having. I wasn't eavesdropping. Okay? So just, I see the looks. She was talking loudly, and I didn't have my headphones in. I wasn't really doing anything anyways. And she was having this conversation with someone, and she was really, really stressed out because she was in the midst of an intense custody battle for her children. And I felt God prompting me. I felt God saying, you know, you should go over and you should talk to that woman. And you should pray for her, and then you should tell the woman that you are praying for her. I said, I don't know. That makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm kind of scared to do that, you know, just approaching some random lady and letting on that I was listening to her conversation. That was obviously very, very personal. So she went to go leave, and so I said, in a pretty loud voice, I said, "Excuse me," but she just kept walking. And then I realized that she had earbuds in. So I was like, wow, that's the best case scenario. Because I was obedient to God, and I didn't have to do this thing that made me uncomfortable. And then a few minutes later, she came back to her seat, and then I was upset. I guess she was going to the washroom or something. So she came back, and the next time she stood up to leave, I touched her arm in an appropriate way. I said, "Excuse me." And I told her that God had prompted me to pray for her, and I was praying for her. And she said it meant a lot to her, and she was really encouraged by that. And she shared with me that she had some beliefs in God, and they weren't necessarily like, well, she had beliefs in God. And I told her that I believed in the God of the Bible and in Jesus, and we kind of went our separate ways. And I don't know what's going to come of that or what comes of those conversations, but I remember about 2 years ago, a man I was having a conversation with, he was a third-generation Christian. And he said, my family became Christian because in a restaurant, a man came up to his, grandfather and had a similar kind of conversation. Basically said that God had prompted him to talk to him about God. And that was the beginning point of many generations of believers. So you never know what's going to happen. But I have confidence in this, that if God prompted me through his Holy Spirit, he has a plan. And I know that God's plan is better than my plan. I know that because God knows everything. He knows everyone. He knows her. And he understands her situation. And when he wants to do something, often he goes to his servants and he taps them on the shoulder. And he says, go tap that person on the shoulder and be Jesus to them. And I think that's what he did that day. And it's so much better than when you try to do ministry on your own and you're trying to generate or kind of manufacture something. It never seems to have lasting impact. So I do believe what I did that day will have an impact. I do believe that's a story that just shows us as an example how God can use you and work in and through you to bring his presence and power into this world. And you can do that. Even I can. Even as I seem bold up here, but I'll tell you, one-on-one, I can be shy sometimes, and especially when it comes to strangers. And that's something he can do. He can give you the words. And so these are just a few examples to maybe try to help you. But I just want to encourage you as we close that each and every single one of you, because you have the presence of the King in you, you are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And an ambassador is a representative. And there is power there, a power to speak on behalf of the one who's given you authority. And we're going to watch this video together. And it's just a wonderful story of a real life person who is living out this mandate to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.